Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasadane Nirvashesha Srinivari Pashasade Shitarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shusama Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Free from the portion of Bhagavad chapter 22, verse 1, Maitreya Uvacha Janeshu Agrinatsu Evam Pratam Ritula Vikramam Tatra Pajagmur Munayas Chatvara Surya Vachasa Maitre Uvacha Janeshu Raghunatsevam
Janeshu Raghunatsevam
Ritu Ritula Vikramam
Surya,
has the Son.
Has the Son.
Vartchasa.
Vartchasa.
Right.
Right.
Translation: the great sage Maitreya said, while the citizens were thus praying to the most powerful King Prithu, the four Kumaras who were as bright as the sun arrived on the spot. Seeing the glowing effulgence of the four Kumaras, masters of mystic power, the king and his associates could recognize them as they ascended from the sky. Therefore, the four Kumaras described herein as Siddheshwaran, which means masters of all mystic power. One who has attained perfection in yoga practice and he has become his master, the mystic perfections become smaller than the smallest, lighter than the lightest, become bigger than the biggest, to achieve anything one desires, to control everything, etc. These four Kumaras, as Siddheshwaras, had achieved all the yogic perfectional achievements, and as such, they could travel in outer space without machines. While they were coming to Maharaj Prithu from all other planets, they did not come by airplane, but personally. In other words, these four Kumaras were also spacemen who could travel in space without machines. The residents of the planet known as Siddhaloka can travel in outer space from one planet to another without vehicles. However, a special power of the Kumaras mentioned herein is that whatever place they went to would immediately become sinless. During the reign of Prithu Maharaj, everything on the surface of this globe was sinless, and therefore the Kumaras decided to see the king. Ordinarily, they did not go to any planet which was sinful. Next, we see the four Kumaras. Prithu Maharaj was greatly anxious to receive them, therefore the king with all his officers very hastily got up, as anxiously as a conditioned soul whose senses are far immediately attracted by the modes of material nature. Purport Bhagavad Gita said, Prakrite Kriyamani Gunai Kamani Sarvasaha Amkara Vimudatma Karta Hamiti Manyate. Every conditioned soul is influenced by a particular mixture of the modes of material nature. As such, the conditioned soul is attracted to certain types of activity, which he is forced to perform because he is completely under the influence of material nature. Here, Prithu Maharaj is compared to such a conditioned soul, not because he was a conditioned soul, but because he was so anxious the Kumaras, that it was as if without them he would have lost his life. The conditioned soul is attracted by the objects of sense gratification. His eyes are attracted to see beautiful things, his ears are attracted to hear nice music, his nose is attracted to enjoy the aroma of a nice flower, his tongue is attracted to taste nice food. Similarly, all his other senses, hands, legs, belly, genital, mind, are so susceptible to the attraction of the objects of enjoyment, he cannot restrain himself. Prithu Maharaj, in the same way, could not restrain himself from receiving the four Kumaras who were bright by dint of their spiritual progress, and thus not only himself but also his officers and associates also received the four Kumaras. It is his birds of a feather flock together. In this world, everyone is attracted by a person of the same category. A drunkard is attracted to persons who are also drunkards. Similarly, a saintly person is attracted by the saintly persons. Prithu Maharaj was in the topmost position of spiritual advancement, and as such, he was attracted by the Kumaras, who are the same category. It is said, therefore, that a man is known by his company. Next, for when the great sages accepted their reception according to the instructions of the Shastras, and finally took their seats offered by the king, influenced by the glories of the sages, immediately bowed down as he worshipped the four Kumaras. Therefore, the four Kumaras are Parampara spiritual masters of Vaishnava Sampradaya. Are the four Sampradaya, namely Brahma Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, Kumara Sampradaya, and Rudra Sampradaya. The distinct succession of spiritual masters, the disciple known as Kumara Sampradaya, is coming down from the four Kumaras. So Prithu Maharaj is very respectful to the Sampradaya Acharyas. As said by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Sakshatari Chaina Samasa Shastra, spiritual master of the Parampara Acharyas, he respects exactly like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word vidipa is significant in this verse. This means that Prithu Maharaj also strictly followed the injunctions of the script Shastra in receiving a spiritual master or acharya of the transcendental succession. Whenever an acharya is seen, one should immediately bow down before him. Prithu Maharaj did this properly. Therefore, the words used here are prasraya anata khandara. Out of humility, bow down before the Kumaras. After this, the king took the water which had washed the lotus feet of the Kumaras and sprinkled it over his hair. By such respectful activities, the king is an exemplary personality who showed how to receive a spiritually advanced personality. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has Sapani Achari Prabhu, Jivar Sikha. It is very well known that whatever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught in his life as a child, he himself practiced. When he was preaching as a devotee, although he was detected by several great personalities to be an incarnation of Krishna, he never needed to be addressed as an incarnation. Even though one may be an incarnation of Krishna or especially empowered by him, he should not advertise that he is an incarnation. People will automatically accept the real truth in due course of time. Prithu Maharaj was the ideal Vaishnava king. Therefore, he taught others by his personal behavior how to receive and respect saintly persons like Kumaras. When a saintly person comes to one's home, it is the Vedic custom first to wash his feet with water and then sprinkle the water over the head of oneself and one's family. Prithu Maharaj did this, for he was an exemplary teacher of the people in general. Next six, the four great sages were elder to Lord Shiva, and when they were seated in the golden throne, they appeared like the fire blazing on an altar. Maharaj Prithu, out of his great gentleness and respect for them, began to speak with great restraint as follows. Wherefore, the Kumaras are described here as the elder brothers of Lord Shiva. When the Kumaras were born under the body of Lord Brahma, they were requested to get married and increase the population. In the beginning of the creation, there was a great need of population. Therefore, Lord Brahma was creating one son after another and ordered them to increase. However, when the Kumaras were requested to do so, they declined. They wanted to remain brahmachari throughout life and be engaged fully in the devotional service of the Lord. The Kumaras are called Naishitika Brahmachari, meaning that they are never to marry. Because of their refusal to marry, Lord Brahma became so angry that his eyes became reddish. From between his eyes, Lord Shiva or Rudra appeared. The mode of anger is constantly known as Rudra. Lord Shiva also has a sampradaya, a party known as the Rudra Sampradaya, and they are also known as Vaishnavas. Translation, the great sage Maitreya continued with the sages were thus praying to the most powerful king for the four Kumaras, who was right as the sun arrived on the spot. So this is an introduction to the teachings of the Kumaras. When they meet Prithu Maharaj. The Kumaras are also Shakti Vaishavatars of the Lord, so though they appear to be born from Brahma, actually they're also eternal. Though they're jivas, they have a specific function to perform as avatars, and they also exist in the spiritual world, just as Narada Muni does. So Prithu is a Shakti Vaishavatar, and also the Kumaras are Shakti Vaishavatars. So both are not actually conditioned jivas or whatever, or sadhakas, they're actually eternally in that position. So here they are coming to teach Prithu Maharaj. Of course, Prithu Maharaj, because he's also avatar, doesn't really need teaching. But the Kumaras play this role of teachers to Prithu Maharaj to give instructions to others. Kumaras are empowered with jnana. This means they teach how to become peaceful. Not specifically bhakti. Though we see that in the seventh canto, third canto, it's described how when they went to the spiritual world and were at the gates, and then the aroma from the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord came out of the palace and through the gates to the outside of Vaikuntha and entered into their nostrils, and they developed ecstasy. So they have a realization of the Lord, but this is considered to be shanta. Their relationship with the Lord is quite neutral, it's not very highly developed. And they are empowered to teach jnana rather than bhakti. So this is often their role in the material world. Whereas Narada Muni is empowered to teach bhakti. So he becomes the most prominent teacher here in the Bhagavad, and you see him appear quite often in giving instructions
on bhakti. Anyway, the kumaras have a specific function of jnana, and they teach that. And we will see, besides this, in other places of the Bhagavatam also, jnana is propounded. We'll see in the Kapila's teachings, there's jnana. Two chapters devoted to it. In Krishna's teachings to Uddhava, there's two chapters dedicated to jnana also. So in this way, the Bhagavatam also presents other philosophies and other processes besides bhakti. But we should not mistake this and think that this is the recommendation, because by the context of the Bhagavatam, we see that at the very beginning, Sudha Goswami has already said that the solution for the people in Kali Yuga is to hear the pastimes of Krishna. Therefore, the introduction of jnana or karma or even yoga are not the real process recommended in the Bhagavatam, though they are actually presented here. So the various incarnations teach different things, but we should understand all of this in perspective and see what the conclusion is. So here the Kumaras appear, and they are welcomed very nicely by Prithu Maharaj, because Prithu Maharaj is playing the role of a king. And it is his duty to welcome the Brahman and the Brahmachari, just as Bali welcomed Vamana because he was dressed as a Brahmachari. So it is the duty of the householder to offer something to the Brahmacharis when they come. And of course, if it's the king, then he is obligated to respect him and offer something. So in this case, of course, the Brahmacharis are also great sages. They get very, very special respect. And of course, he understood who they were. They were actually not just ordinary persons, they're actually Krishna avatars of the Lord. And we'll see the Kumaras appearing in many different places. So they're very well known. So the king recognized them and he respected them and he offered them all worship, as was his duty, and as is the process for getting spiritual knowledge. So respect is necessary in this process of receiving knowledge. Just as in the Bhagavad Gita, it says pranipat, prai prashna, and seva. And then you get knowledge. So the proper respect is necessary. And that is represented by the worship. Of course, the worship is external, but the intention is internal. In other words, the external actions that we do with the body and the offerings that we make are representative of our internal attitudes and feelings. And because of that, there is an effect of surrender. So the worship, therefore, is prescribed in the Shastras, as Prabhupada mentioned. When the great sage comes, when the Brahman comes, then one offers all respect. And we see this, of course, in other instances also. So the Prithu Maharaj did everything very properly. And it's described here that the Kumaras were actually, even though they appeared very young, they were older than Shiva. So they appeared from Brahma before Shiva. So in that sense, they're older. Of course, both are eternal. So Shiva also is eternal, but he makes his appearance in this material world through Brahma. But he appeared later. And additionally, the Kumaras are also very special because they last throughout the life of Brahma. They appear on the first day of Brahma's life, and then they last from day to day. They don't have to appear again and again and again and again and again. They last through the whole life of Brahma. So they're very, very old. And they're not very young, but their sarup, their spiritual form, is very young. They are 5-year-old and golden complexion. So this way they are very, very special. So their appearance is very young, but actually they're very old in terms of age compared to all the other living entities. So in spite of their apparent youth, they have great knowledge. And of course, because of this knowledge, they are completely detached from the material world. And therefore, they had no desire to create progeny. And therefore, they refused from the promise that he must create progeny. So this is a sign of their great detachment. They are fixed in jnana, and they have no attachment to the material world. But, of course, as this is their lila, that they do this, actually they are spiritual in nature and fixed in the Supreme Lord at all times. So here they arrive in the arena of sacrifice of Prithu Maharaj to give instructions. So Prithu Maharaj welcomes them properly and respects them, and therefore they're willing to speak. This means that they recognize that Prithu is qualified, and therefore they're willing to speak to him. In other words, they are pleased by his attitude and his reception, and they judge him as suitable, and therefore they begin to speak. Why they have to speak to Prithu? Because he's an avatar of the Lord. The reason is because Prithu is a king. And from the material point of view, a king is materialistic. And even if he is spiritual, a Rajarshi, there is a tendency to involve in material activities, and therefore there's a danger in the material world because of that contact. For that reason, the kings and the Kshatriyas have to be subservient to the Brahmanas, so that desire for material enjoyment is always restricted. And Kshatriyas have passion as well as sattva, so that passion has to be controlled. So the Brahmins help. If they are respectful of the Brahmins, and the Brahmins give proper advice, and this way they're able to control their passion and instincts. So, therefore, the Brahmins and sages, they like to give good instructions to the great kings. It's not only this case, but other cases also, where the kings are visited by sages or Narada Muni, etc., and they get instructions. So this is something which is necessary in order to maintain the purity of the rulers. As I said before, the whole purpose is to maintain civilization throughout the day of Brahma through the line of kings and the samanus. So this is for the general population. So therefore the avatars come and help maintain this order by inspiring the kings not to become attracted to material nature. So that is the function of the Kumaras coming to give instructions.
Is it an external reason, which means the bigger personalities who appear in the material world, do they have dual responsibility, one in the spiritual world and one with respect to the material world? Like you said, they are devotees essentially. But with respect to the material, their job and their service is to
what, the Shaktivedic avatars?
Yeah. So what I'm asking is with respect to the material world, they have certain services. Otherwise they're actually devotees who are not only staying in the spiritual world.
Yeah, in any case they're devotees of the Lord. But particularly when they appear in the material world, they have this particular job to do. Of course, in the spiritual world, they still have that Shakti. So Narada Muni still has his Bhakti Shakti, and the Kumaras still have their Jnana Shakti in the spiritual world also. But that manifests in certain pastimes in the material world. So generally, they give instructions. Not all the time, because Prithu, his is not to give instructions. His is to simply level the earth. That's his Shakti. So, of course, he doesn't do that in the spiritual world, so his function is more or less limited to material world. The spiritual world simply reigns very nicely and acts as a king. So yes, some of the function is related to their appearance in this material world.
Devoting this spiritual world is static in the sense that the relationship with the Lord is there is a certain established relationship. But in case of Kumaras, like they went to the Vaikuntha and then they smelled the fragrance of the Tulsi leaf. So then the relationship with the Lord changed?
Not really. It's fixed. So they simply develop ecstatic symptoms, but of course they're still in Shanta Rasa, they never change their rasa.
You have made Sampradaya Acharyas, Shiva became Guru Sampradaya. What is that recipe or that purposely Lord had decided to have his own Sampradaya or they were asking to be a
Guru? It's not really mentioned anywhere how they arose. But certain Sampradayas trace their lineage back that way, that's all.
Here we find it both Kumaras refusing to get married. Rudra was born, Rudra was head of the Shiva was head of Guru Sampradaya.
So?
Sampradaya started right from the beginning, right
from the creation. Yeah, just like Brahma is the head of the Sampradaya also. So, of course, they're actually eternal. The Sampradayas are actually eternal. But according to the appearance of the material world and Brahma, etc., coming out, then they seem to have a beginning.
No, the teaching Sampradaya is that the Chokhya, the Bhakti.
Huh?
Teaching Chandra Rasa, are they also getting plain bhakti?
The who?
Love of Godhead.
Who? Kumaras?
No, yeah, I'm talking about Chandra Rasa.
Huh? Chandra Rasa.
Chandra Rasa.
Chandra Rasa, yeah.
You said the four Kumaras were in the teaching, because they are in Chandra Rasa.
Yeah.
But in Chandra Rasa, they cannot develop the pure love of God.
Well, it's classed as part of, as a rasa in the nectar of devotion. So we can say it's a type of prema, but the relationship is so weak that generally they don't consider it too much. And they only consider it from dasya onwards. But it is a particular rasa. So we can say it is a type of prema, but it's not the one desired by the devotees. Because service is minimal.
Because of Mahaprabhu worshipping Krishna, Sudha Goswami said that the perfection one is the perfection of worshipping Krishna. So was that the process in actually all you were worshipping Krishna specifically?
No, Vishnu.
So Sudha Goswami here actually is referring to Vishnu or specifically referring to worship of Krishna?
Krishna.
So it means it's specific to this particular thing?
Yeah.
Kumaras and Shiva, they did Sampradaya, there was Narada Sampradaya.
Ask Krishna.
Grantrasi Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Sarvasmamavat ki
jai.
Jumayana Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Jai. Jai.
Jai.
Jai.